Good morning, good morning. My name is Estelle, aka E. Nelson, aka Mahogany with an I. And this is my very first podcast, so I really don't know what I'm doing, but I am coachable and I'm going to go with the flow. And the title of this podcast is This Is My Life. Can you relate? And I'm pretty sure as I go through this process and I begin to talk about just the chaos, the love, the joy, the happiness, the confusion, at times the foolishness, that my journey has taken me on, I'm pretty sure you will be able to relate. And hopefully as time goes on, I'll be able to have a few guests on this podcast, a few of my sister friends, and maybe even my, you know, brother friends, and at times even my family. And we can all just have a good talk and make this relatable. So God bless you all, and thank you for listening in. Greetings, greetings, my family. I just wanted to welcome you to the day, first of all. Welcome you to the day. This is the day that God has made. One more day. So, again, my name is Estelle Nelson, a.k.a. E. Nelson, author, a.k.a. Mahogany. I'm a songstress, a writer, an actress, a public speaker, and anything else that God wants me to be. And so I am in. So anyway, let me just start with telling you a little bit about myself. So you won't be like, well, who the hell is this lady? Why is she talking about herself? And why is this so important? Well, it's important because my journey is, I feel, amazing, or has been amazing. I call it the chapters in my life. And I'm probably in chapter number 22 at this point. But it's an interesting chapter. I am in the 50s group, 50s family. And I'm loving it. I'm loving it because I feel like I'm smarter. I feel smarter. Not because I know everything, or not because I feel like I know everything, because I don't. But I know quite a bit, and I've learned quite a bit, and I've figured out the lessons, and I know the things to not repeat, and I feel like I know the things that I need to utilize from what I've learned. And so this is where I'm at. I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I'm a mother of three boys. I am a wife of 20 years, married, and a sister of three girls. Amazingly, ironically, and amazingly, none of us have all the same parents. And if that's confusing, I'll tell you about that later. But at the same time, we are sisters. And so, and I'm loving the experience that we're having right now in my life. And what else? I have had many careers. I was a hairstylist and skincare specialist for quite a few years, almost 20 years. And in between that, you know how it works out. You know, you have those in between jobs and in between. So I've had a side careers. I had a side business, cleaning service, and I've had a side business of selling goods. What is that? What is that? You know, like candy and all kinds of stuff like that. So I've done that, and I just, I've been a hustler. I've been a hustler most of my life. And then I went into a strange career of education. And I have up until probably 2016 been in that career probably for almost maybe about 15, 16 years. And so in that career path, it was really interesting. It was fun. I felt it made me feel smart. I really did. I felt smart. I felt really intelligent. Because as a young girl, I struggled. I struggled majorly with dyslexia. But dyslexia for, black little black kids, it wasn't a big thing. It was just you just acting up and you better get your ass together. Get it right. Oh, I know what she needs. She need a whooping. That was the thing, So I struggled. I struggled. So going into the field of education, into the career of education, as a teacher's assistant, I worked in counseling. I was a what do you call that? A resource teacher. I mean, I did a multitude of different things in the educational field, career field. And it was gratifying. It really was. I learned a lot. I learned a lot. It helped me to get through the process with my kids. It has helped me, should I say. And I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. And I still do in some, in some moments and different capacities. I still enjoy it. So that was my career. In between those two careers, I've always been an entertainer. I'm a vocalist by trade. I have been trained as a vocalist. I've performed studio recorded music. I have sung in shows, stage shows. I've just performed in a lot of different capacities. And of course, in church, you perform in church. Gotta sing in church. So I've done that. And in this later part of my life, I have delved into the acting capacity. I've always delved into public speaking in one manner or another. I've always done public speaking. I didn't realize that that's what I was doing, but I've always done it. And so that has never been a fear of mine. The challenge has always been making sure that my content all made sense and wrapped up in one good message. And so that has always been my challenge. But as far as being able to speak to a group of people, a mass of people, in a microphone, that has never really been a problem. But I'm recently delving into this acting thing. And 2019, well, I would say 2015 to 2019, I have really increased a multitude of work related around theater, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm really enjoying it. I'm learning so much. As I said in the introduction, I am coachable. So with that being said, I'm just learning, and I'm just absorbing everything that I can get. And I really enjoy it. Now this is kind of scary for me. This is scary. Every time I come about, I'm finding some areas of theater that I really don't enjoy, and then other areas that I love. So I'm going to see where this goes. I'm just going to see where this goes and let God do the rest. So that's a little bit of a background of my career. And, I've been married, as I said, for 20 years. And to this man, he's completely different from the type of men that I've ever, ever, ever dated in my life. So when he came into my life, it was a new thing. And it was something that I totally tried to run from. I completely, completely tried to run from. And to the point of when we got to the altar at the courthouse, I said no when the judge said, I don't think I said no. I think I said, huh? When he said, do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband? And I said, huh? And my husband looked at me like, what the hell? What you doing? You know? So it was surreal and it was different. And it was like, I'm still not sure if I want to do this. You know, that was what was going on in my head. So it's been 20 years and it has been an experience. You know, it's had many, many ups and downs, many, many, I'm about done with this shit, emotions. And then other times of thank you, Lord, that this man loves me the way he does. Thank you, Lord, for, you know, giving me this man for me to have my children with. Thank you, Lord, for, you know, it's been many of those too. So, 20 years. So I have three amazing boys, kings, little kings. And they are all 8 years apart. 8 years apart. My last one I had at 40, y'all. 40, 40 years of age. That was a trip. That was a straight trip. But yeah, 8 years apart. My oldest one, who is deceased, and I will talk to you a little bit about him and his journey as we go through the episodes, because it's an amazing one. But my oldest one would have been 26 this year. My middle son is 18 and my youngest is 11. And every time I say that, I go, whew, Jesus, that's just how I feel about that. And so with that being said, you know, for some time I felt like, oh, this is going to be okay because, you know, I'm just going to raise them all the way I did with the first one. But, you know, realizing that that's just not the way it works, because all three of them are different in their own way. Completely different. They really are all completely different. I mean, I definitely see the similarities in all three of them, and it's no doubt that they're my boys. I see me in them. I see my husband in them. I see my oldest one is not by, his father is not the same. It's not from my husband. He's from a previous relationship. But you couldn't prove it if you didn't. If you looked at them, my oldest son and my husband, you would say, okay, no, they're not related. But they had so many similarities as far as just like demeanor, different things like that. And that just, that just, I'm sure, comes from environment. You know what I'm saying? But he had a lot of similarities and so on and so forth from his other family as well, his father's family as well. So, but yeah, so three boys, and yes, they all are completely different. And we've had some challenges. Some of the challenges have, been based around health, physical health. My oldest son was a two-time liver transplant recipient, and he passed away from pneumonia. And my middle son, my two younger sons, they are defeating and overcoming mental health concerns. And then I have mental health, then there's mental health concerns surrounding my husband. And and I can truly say for myself that there's mental health concerns surrounding me as I get get older. Because not only with the aging process, but stress, bouts of depression, anxiety in many forms. Although anxiety is really not a major struggle for me, it's more focused around my boys and my husband. Major anxiety. And then of course my physical health concerns, because I am I'm trying to find the positive word to put in place of a negative word surrounding cancer, because I have ovarian and lung cancer. But as I wrote in a poem, a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine who passed away last year, 2019, we wrote a poem together, and it was entitled, "I Don't Look Like What I've Been Through." And so I say that now. Behind, and probably should be in front of the it should be in front of the statement of I have ovarian and lung cancer. It should be, "I don't look like what I've been through." Subtitle, "But I have ovarian and lung cancer." All right. Yes, that's better. So, there's a lot of chapters, as I said before, to my life. A lot of chapters, and as I'm sure many of you who are listening can say the same. There's many chapters to our lives. The one thing about me is, with all these chapters that I have in my life, and all of the challenges and ups and downs and so on and so forth that I have experienced, I have no regrets. None. I mean, of course, I would say that if I had the chance to do it over again, from what I know now, I would do things differently. But I don't have any regrets that I experienced those things, because I feel like they've made me stronger, they've made me smarter, they've made me wiser. I feel grown. I feel like a grown ass woman, as opposed to 20 years ago when I was still unsure about who I was, where I was going, what I was doing, why am I in this situation? How can I get out of it? That kind of stuff, those kind of questions, and a multitude of more added on to those questions. I feel grown, and that's the best part right now. So I have no regrets. I have no regrets. So I'm writing a book right now, and it's called this is no, I'm sorry. It's called the what is it? Lord Jesus, I done forgot the title. The Journey of My Life or something like that. I think actually I'm gonna change the title because the way the story is going, the way the book is going, is it's really, really, it's good, y'all. It's real, real good, but it's going in a different direction than when I started out my outline. So my outline, of course, is my guideline, and the title that I chose for it is a wonderful title, but it's just kind of going in a different not a total different direction, but some of the it's got, it's got some changes in it from where I started from, which is a good thing, so and what it talks about mainly the character in the book, of course, is a a exaggerated de description of me. Some add-ons, some takeaways, but and of course some of the experiences that the some of the experiences that this character is going through are some of my experiences, but they are a mixture of many, many women, because I'm one of those persons that I have a million stories in my head from a million people that I've come across throughout my life. Throughout my life, I've traveled quite a bit in my younger years, and I've had the opportunity and the blessed opportunity to be able to just meet all types of people and all types of black people. I am an African American, by the way. Because I would pray and hope and pray that many people would be able to would open up to listen to this podcast. But the wonderful thing is that I'm an African American woman, and I love being black. I love my blackness. I love my big butt, my thick thighs. I love my big lips. I love my beautiful big eyes. I love my kinky hair, my woolly kinky hair, as described in many books or many stories or many old passages. My woolly hair. I love everything about me. And it took me a long time to learn how to love me. And so, with that being said, I've had the opportunity to meet so many other Africans from all over. I would say the US, because I've been to a lot of states in the US. I have been to Japan, but it was like a weekend gig thing, and I was so young, and the trip was limited of, of where I have the opportunity to go, where I was able to go. So it was very limited. But I have been to Japan. I have been to Canada a few times, spent time in Canada. I went to Puerto Rico once, years and years and years ago. And I was just mainly in a home environment. So I didn't really get a chance to once again get out. You know how when you go with someone else, or like especially in my case, there were boyfriends, they were men, Go figure. And so at least going to Canada and Puerto Rico, I took those trips with boyfriends. The trip I took to Japan was when I was singing. I was singing with Bobby Max, I mean, excuse me, Bobby Womack's band and his nephew, Kevin Womack. So took a trip with him, but it was very short-lived, very limited on where we went, what we did. And then it was like a turnaround. So that's how that was. But that's my experience with out of the country. But I mean, I remember going into an environment where I remember my first experience going into an environment of meeting black people that spoke Spanish. I mean, people that literally looked like me and spoke Spanish. And I was like blown away. I remember being in an environment where there were black people that spoke full-fledged all around Japanese and Chinese. And I just was like, what? Because you know, when you prejudge a situation, you expect it to happen just like you prejudging it. And then when it takes a turn and it's something else, it's like, whoa, you know. So that's the way that was. And so as time has progressed on, you know, and I've been able to meet so many Africans. And when I say Africans, I mean African Americans, Pan African Americans. I mean, just all types of Africans from all over the world. It's a joy. It's been a joy to be able to experience that, in the variety and how we are just everywhere. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Now, as well, I've had the opportunity to meet just many different people, period. I am not that person that when a foreigner, and I have my quote signs up, comes in my environment and I've never met that type of foreigner before or whatever, and I say, I'm not one of those people that say those people. Those people, them. I hate that term because it's a beautiful thing to meet and experience other cultures. It is a beautiful thing. So that rubs me the wrong way. Those people, them people, you know, that rubs me the wrong way because I grew up with excuse me, I grew up with Samoans, I grew up with Cambodians. I grew up around Hawaiians. I grew up around blacks. And later, as time progressed on in my high school years, my middle school and high school years, then, you know, like white people, like in between until like maybe the latter part of high school. And it was a hard experience. That was a hard experience. But culturally wise, cultural and cultural diversity, I love it. I love it. I love being able to experience another culture and learning about a new culture. I love it. I love it. So, you know, so it's just you, I guess, you know, hopefully you're getting a good idea of the type of person I am. I love to love. I love to love. And I've always looked for the good in everybody. But I'm not gully gully. I'm not gullible. And I think that I have a sense of discernment. So God shows me what I need to see in people as well. And everybody ain't my friend. Everybody ain't my friend. You know, I have a handful of friends, like on one hand. Hello. And the rest of the people in my life, surrounding my life, and that I come across or come or comes in my path, you know, they're special people. You know, they're not necessarily my friends, but they're special people. Everybody is special in one way or another. So that's the way I see it. So, let me see. What else? What else? What else? So the things that I'm going to be talking about in my podcast, like I said before, are the journeys that I've experienced, what I'm going through. And I'll really try to make them relatable, guys, to what's going on right now. Like if there's an issue, if there's something in the world that's going on right now, I'll try to give an experience that I may have had with that type of subject matter. And then I'll give you some background regarding me. And then, like I said, from time to time, I'll try to bring some other people in so we can actually have a conversation. Because I got a lot to say just myself, but I love to get other people's point of view. I love perspectives. Throughout the years, I have learned to appreciate other perspectives and not just look at my own by myself only, because the way I see things is not the all be all, be it all. So it has to be seen from my point of view and then from the person on the right side of me's point of view and the person on the left side of me's point of view. And then there's the truth, of course, that's in the middle. And so from that point, I think that when you put all the heads, all of the thoughts and feelings and emotions and theories together, then it begins to make sense. But it allows a sense of communication to activate, to really just take place. And communication is key for the world that we live in today, because don't nobody listen to nobody no more. We have an even harder time listening to God. So I think that actually makes it harder for us to listen to God, because we are not even listening to each other, and we can literally see each other, face to face, and we're not listening to each other. So we can't see God, if we don't have a relationship with them, even more so. And so with that, it's like you're definitely not going to listen to him if you can't see him, if you feel like you can't even connect with him. Anybody who's a believer, I am a believer of God, but anybody who's a believer will know and understand that the net connecting source of you and God, or me and God, would be the communication. Communication is key. So, I'm going to end this podcast for today, but I want to send off a message of love, of respect each other, respect yourself first, and then respect each other. Respect your neighbor. Honor your neighbor. Honor your mother and your father. Honor the human next to you, because that's important. It's so important. People, we want respect. We want respect, but we got to learn how to give it. Got to give respect. You can't just give me, give me, give me, give me, give me all the time. You got to give. You got to give it back. And sometimes you got to be the bigger person and give it first. So I just want to send that out. Just, love each other. I'm recording on my phone today, so I'm so sorry for all the beeps and everything in between. And I'm not tech savvy, so I'm going to try to learn how to record on my laptop so I won't have those kind of beep beep interruptions and so on and so forth. But peace and love, peace and love, peace and love. Have a blessed and amazing day. God bless.